Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. I want to thank Pastor Lance for allowing me to speak on this anniversary Sunday. And I want to thank Miss Amy for playing that special. Appreciate those songs that were played. Title of our message today is what you could read on one of the cornerstones of our building, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But would you please stand with us, as our pastor says, out of the respect for the word of the Lord? The book of Ephesians chapter 2, we'll begin reading at verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have gathered this day to not only celebrate the 68th anniversary of the Covenant Baptist Church, but Lord, also to celebrate you and the fact that you have allowed us to be your ambassadors. May this church be an outpost of faith until you call us home. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I would like to start with just a little bit of history. Now, I'll be honest with you. It has been my privilege to call the Covenant Baptist Church my church. Now, when I was in Bible college, I did attend the New York Avenue Baptist Church, but that was just one that I was attending. This was always my church. And so I know a lot about this church. There have been very serious things that have happened through the years. Very funny things. Can I tell you one funny thing? Now, please don't ask me to name names, though some of you will try to figure it out. But we used to have a woman that came to our church that had a gold fingernail. Now, I'll be honest with you, I never wanted a gold fingernail, but she had a gold fingernail, and she lost it. And she thought I found it and kept it. And even accused me of having her fingernail. You don't think that's funny? You had to be there. But let me tell you a little history. If you were to go outside and go to the other side of the building, the southwest corner, you would find the cornerstone. It says 1960. And on it, it has this inscription: what we have just read, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. May I say this? If we are not serving the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are not worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, if we are not waiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're just wasting our time. This church is founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to go to this building and you go outside to the southeast corner, you would find that cornerstone says 1965, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Inside that cornerstone is a box. There's a box, and in that is a King James Bible. There is a list of the then church members. There is the article of faith and $1,000 in $100 bills. Hardly, because at that time the church didn't have a spare $1,000, okay? But there is the other things that I mentioned. I would like to talk about a piano. Now, our church has been blessed. Debbie was then Prince, now Muehlhoff, has played our pianos first in the youth department downstairs, then later for the mornings and evening and Wednesday night services. And Debbie, I don't know how many years, but I think you were about 15 when you started, and you're now 38. Okay. She's been playing a long time. And Cheryl Wutke has been playing our piano and organ, because when she came here, she didn't know how to play the organ. But she knew we had a pianist, and so she took organ lessons. And we have been blessed to have these two ladies down through the years play our instruments. I think we ought to give them a hand. Yes. But in 1960, our church over there needed a new piano. And so they bought a piano. It was a Steinway. Now, a Steinway is one of the top pianos there are. But that piano was out of date. Instead of having one leg on three different places, it had dual legs. And it was out of style. And so we bought that piano for $500. And we used that piano first over there, and then it was moved up here for many years. And then when Pastor Mel came and his wife, who was a very gifted pianist, and during that time that the Sharps were here, she played the piano. She said the Steinway, well, it's old. And it had a cracked soundboard. And we could do better. And so during that time, we bought this piano. And so we asked, would you give us anything for our Steinway? And they told us, because it has the word Steinway on it, they would give us $5,000 towards the purchase of this piano. So what do you think? We buy a piano for $500, we use it for years, and we get $5,000 for it. That's a pretty good investment, isn't it? Now, when we bought this piano, we had a fundraiser. You bought a key. And I don't remember how much each key was, but I remember that the Days bought the last 21 keys and paid off the piano. So I thought that was pretty impressive. A little more history. This organ over here. The organ that we had before that, Cheryl, was... well, it was temperamental. We were constantly having to have somebody come out and adjust things and vacuum out the dust. And it really needed to be replaced. In fact, we got it to the point where Cheryl, I think, thought it was haunted. But she heard about a church that was giving away their organ. All we had to do was get it. Well, that doesn't sound too hard, does it? Except the organ was in the loft at the back of the auditorium. And it was a spiral staircase. Now, how many men do you think we could get to go get that organ? So we paid a company to go and get it. And here it sits, folks. What a blessing it's been. It's been a blessing. Okay, moving along. I could get excited about things I could talk about. In the vestibule, there is a desk. Now you say, why is that desk there? Well, it's to hold my dad's library, what's left of it. That desk was built by a man of our church, Mr. Jim Myrick, back around 1965. It won't be long, it'll be an antique. But Jim Myrick built that desk in his workshop. He also built the cross that's up here. And that cross has hung up there since about 1965. A farm was being plowed under, like many of the farms in this area, and a barn was brought down, and he got some beams out of that barn, and he built that cross for us. What a privilege it is to have that still hanging there. It's an empty cross, because Jesus isn't on it, but he did die upon an old rugged cross for you and for me. On the communion table here is an ornament, not an ornament, but an arrangement. And as you look at it, you may not realize it, but that was given to the Covenant Baptist Church for our 25th anniversary. So you can figure out how long we have had it. It was given to us by the Beacon Baptist Church of Clay, New York. I think Beacon is a great name for a church, but that was given to us. Another thing, do you realize Christmas is coming? Now, I do realize that Halloween is just around the corner, and wow, people spend a lot of money on Halloween decorations. But as Christmas is coming and we will decorate, we will take out a manger scene. It's back here right now in the box that is kept in during the years. Diane Belay got that 30 years ago, at least 30 years ago. You know, things that have been part of our church for a long period of time. A final thought before the message. Winston Churchill said concerning the RAF, that's the Royal Air Force, and I paraphrase, never have so many owed so much to so few. The same could be said of the charter members of the Covenant Baptist Church. Now, with the passing of my dad a few years ago, all the charter members have gone on to their reward. We do still have some of the children. Well, some of the kids. But we owe an awful lot to those people back in 1956 who had a vision to begin a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church. It started down here on Canal Road, and as it says in the bulletins, moved to a number of different places to this 3 acres were purchased and this building was built. You say, well, it must have been easy. Yeah, right. They didn't have much money, but they stepped up by faith. And God provided each step of the way. We owe nothing on the building. And if you look back there in some of the pictures, you'll see the mortgage burning ceremony. Though Brother Lee tried to burn down the building by dropping the fire on the carpet. But it is so good to know that God has blessed through the years. And we have had so many good men and women down through the years. But I'd like to talk about the God of Genesis 1:1, who is the same God of John 3:16. It always bothers my mind how someone can believe in the God of John 3:16 but not believe in the God of 1:1. For in Genesis 1:1 it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." It was not God's beginning, but it was the beginning of mankind. This planet, this universe, God created it. What an awesome God he is. We read in the book of Isaiah that his right hand spans the universe. He is so awesome and so big. There are two choices that one must believe when we begin to think about creation. That we are either here by chance, or we are here because of the God of Genesis 1:1. You have to make a choice. Society has to make a choice. Now, if you believe the former, you have to believe by chance there was a ball of energy. For no reason, there is this ball of energy, and it exploded. Now, it is interesting, if you explode things, you don't create things. But they would tell you that our universe was created, the stars and the planets and the moons. And I ask the question, why? Why was there water on what they call the third rock from the sun? Where'd the water come from? And yet for some reason there was water on this rock. And then for some reason there was lightning. Where did the lightning come from? And it hit water and it created life. A one cell amoeba, which divided and became two, divided and became four. Why would that have happened? But see, if you don't believe that God created it, you have to believe we're here by pure chance. And then this life grew to a point where it said, I don't like living in this water puddle. I'm going to leave. Why would it leave? And let me ask you this, if you take a fish out of water, how long will it live? Not long. And yet evolution would tell you somehow he lived. Okay, he lived. Well, what about a female? Well, what if she was in another puddle? How'd they get together? How? You say, well, Pastor Paul, that really sounds stupid. Can I say that? Do you know there are some evolutionists now that believe we didn't evolve like I just talked about, but we're from another planet? And that they came from another planet and they established life on this planet because they realize how stupid evolution is. Are we still evolving? You know, I think that we should evolve so that fat doesn't get to our bodies. At least I think that. Yes, we're not evolving. You ever go to the zoo and watch the monkeys? Do you really think that they're your great, 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 great grandfathers? What do you think? No. No. And may I say this, that the fossils of plant life are all the same as what we have today. There is no evolution of them. They can't show it at all. And every time they find what they think is some fossil of some missing era, a missing point, it's always proved to be some primate that is extinct or even still living. But see, the Covenant Baptist Church has proclaimed from the very beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. Evolution, science so-called, has led to the deception of millions of people and indirectly to the slaughter of innocent babies by the thousands. Because if you believe that we're here by chance, why should it matter if we kill some babies? And oh, may I say this, if I know that someone is going to kill somebody, and I do nothing, am I an accomplice? Yes. So if I vote for somebody who wants to kill babies, am I then not also an accomplice? Because that's what they want to do? Something to ponder. John 3:16. In a moment, we are going to quote it slowly. You know, sometimes when we are quoting verses from the Bible by memory, we have a tendency to want to go fast, so we get it all in. But John chapter 3, verse 16, let us say it together slowly, and we're going to pause at certain points, okay? For God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So loved the world. Yesterday I was at a wedding. My niece Anna was marrying the love of her life, Tommy. Boy, did he look young. You say, Pastor Paul, how old were you when you got married? Don't ask. I was a baby. I was so young too. But you know, one thing people said, they look like they're so much in love. Well, you would hope that, right? You know, the joining of two. But God loved us. And can I tell you this? It's an unconditional love. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. And there's nothing you can do to have it where he loves you less. He loves you less. He cares for you. He loves you. But due to our sinful condition, we needed a Savior. Can you save yourself? Can I use Tony as an example? Tony's a pretty nice guy. Wouldn't you agree? How many dogs do you have? Four dogs. Yeah. And if you're a dog lover, you gotta like Tony. Yeah. Can I ask you a question? Is Tony a sinner? How do you know he's a sinner? Well, his brother's right here. You want to tell us? Yeah. Okay, Jay. He's a sinner. Okay, let's go one step further. Thank you for letting me use you. Am I a sinner? You all say that so quickly. Why do you think I'm a sinner? You've been talking to Donna. You know, 51 years we've been married. I mean, she knows a little bit about me. Can I tell you this? She knows too much about me. Brother Wutke, am I a sinner? Yes, Paul's my friend. And he didn't really want to say that. Did I need a Savior? Well, wait a minute. My dad was a Baptist preacher. Wouldn't that be good enough? I've gone to church since I was born. 71 years I've been alive, and I've been in church almost every Sunday of those 71 years. Isn't that good enough? Wait a minute. I give the missions. I was baptized. Now, our church at that time did not have a baptistry, so Diane and Debbie and me and our families, we went down to Gilead Baptist Church, and we were baptized there. Wasn't there any saving grace in that water? You mean the Detroit River doesn't have saving grace? So my baptism didn't save me, did it? My giving to missions does not save me. Going to church all my life hasn't saved me. The fact that my parents were good, godly people. Well, how in the world do I get saved then? I have to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, knowing there's nothing I can do. Now, I know there are nice-looking people that will come to you, your door and tell you, you've got to do something else. There's nothing I can do. Doesn't Isaiah tell me that all of my righteousnesses are as what? Filthy rags. Why would God want our filthy rags? But aren't you glad Jesus Christ provided a way of salvation? And don't you think we should let other people know that there is a way into heaven and that it is only through Jesus Christ? Correct? There's nothing I can do. Nothing. Except Jesus Christ. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I was a young boy when I realized that I was lost and headed for hell. And I'm going to tell you something that scared the pajibis out of me. Whatever pajibis are. I realized there was nothing I can do because I knew I was a bad kid. I had done things and, you know, I mean, I hadn't robbed a store. But I had stolen when I was in the first grade. Or was it kindergarten? It was kindergarten. Oh, man, I started a life of crime early. I stole a horse and a cowboy from one of my classmates. Yeah. I knew I was a sinner. But the fact is, Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. I am so glad I had parents that brought me to church. I am so glad that as a young boy, I found out there was a need. And Jesus Christ could take care of that need. But this church for 68 years is proclaiming the need of a lost and dying world. And what we need is Jesus Christ. And I would hope that if the Lord tarries his coming, and I don't really like to use tarrying because he'll come when it's time. But if the Lord doesn't come for another 68 years, I hope this church is still proclaiming the gospel story. Shall we stand together? May I ask you this? Is your heart where it needs to be to continue to serve the Lord faithfully until he calls you home? Are you ready to meet your Maker? You can, even today. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would bless this invitation time. May the Spirit move. May hearts be touched. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.